Hello, this is Keith Parsons again with another episode of Heavy Wireless, part of the Packet Pushers podcast network. And today I have with me Stuart Gooman. Stuart, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Keith. How about yourself?
Great. Hey, by the way, you sound like you're an FM radio broadcaster. Nicely done on the voice.
Well, thank you.
We have you on today to answer the question, so you want to be a vendor SE, kind of a career-enhancing kind of podcast talking about career roles for people inside the wireless industry. In the past, you've been a consultant, you've been in professional services, and today you do SE work as a vendor. You happen to work at Echo. If someone came to you and they said, what are the traits, what are the skills needed to be a vendor SE? How would you answer that?
Well, Keith, that's a great question. And you know what? It all comes down to A, wanting to show up, put your best effort in, and be an awesome teammate. And those are the kind of the key things is that, and a lot of listening to customers, really. If you're a good listener and you want to be, you know, you're excited about technology, you want to get out there and understand different environments and have an exposure to, a plethora of customers and across the, you know, the spectrum, so to speak, right? Then definitely, yeah. I mean, an SE job can be for you, for sure.
If one of the jobs you could have in our industry is you work for a very specific vertical. You happen to work in finance, people have worked for retail or whatever. When you work in that environment, you get a lot of depth in one specific thing, but you don't get the breadth. So one of the things you're alluding to here is in being in the SE world, you get to go from finance to retail to heavy industry.
That's a great comment because at any given day, I could talk to eight different customers from eight different verticals from around the country. And that is like, you're thinking, well, that's a lot of meetings. Yes, it could be some short, could be some emails, could be, video conferences, but you get exposure to, you could be talking to education in the morning, government at coffee in mid morning, and then you're going right over to industrial manufacturing and then maybe to retail and then corporate. You could cover all those verticals and hear everything that's different because In our field, Wi-Fi is not always the same. It's different. There's minute differences between each of those and what are those standards and requirements.
So how would someone get the experience to be able to take that role on?
You know, it comes down to, yes, I got a ton of experience in the back end from, you know, as you mentioned, for years. But just getting some understanding of knowledges of getting your kind of your feet wet and yes, I've deployed some networks. I've have some experience in using networks. I mean, the best way to understand networks is to use them. And if somebody says, well, I've never used a network in a retail or education, I said, are you sure? When was the last time you went to we'll pick on a department store. We won't say a name of a department store, but you got in there and you joined the Wi-Fi, right? Or your local coffee shop, right? And they're, yeah, well, then you used their Wi-Fi. You went to a school, you went to a stadium, you used their Wi-Fi. So you're a user, you're a consumer of it. Right. And did it work for you? Well, it worked some of the time. Okay, build on that experience. Understand from the client point of view, how would you go and fix it? How would you understand? Then you can understand the complexities. And understand and then start looking up in the ceiling and you're going, where are those access points? What is the design telling me? What's happening in my environment? And then you start to look a little bit deeper on, radios and things like that, where, waves are happening, right? You start to, I'm digressing here, but it's all you need to understand is that from an experience point of view is don't be afraid of what you don't know. You probably already had some experience at it at some point.
How would you frame that in an interview question? A new person comes in, you're interviewing them for a job as a SE. Mm-hmm. How would you put that in a question so you could kind of figure out where they are technically, if they can understand that?
Well, I would first I would ask is what type of experience do you have on usage of networks? And then also the second part is, have you done configuring them before? And I haven't got to the design part yet, right? I'm not talking about design yet. I want to know if you can, if you've got some understanding of what it takes to configure something. And then you go, then you can build off that and say, oh, great. So you were working IT at a specific company XYZ and you were helping deploy this thing. And I said, oh, okay, well, did you do any structured cabling? Did you go beyond that? Did you understand that? Asking those questions helps me understand that, aha. So first, they know how to deploy one. We haven't talked about design yet, but they know what it takes to get there. They know there's a lot of work to do certain things.
Or you might find that they're not curious.
Right. And they're just there to kind of, you know, help you on the sales end and go. And that can be good. But when you are an SE, you want to be the trusted advisor. And you wanted to, and you have to be that trusted advisor. You want to be, you have to be the trusted advisor because customers are looking for you for your expert opinion. Now, you don't have to know everything, because if we knew everything, we wouldn't be here, right, Keith? I mean, if you say it, you know, if we knew everything, we wouldn't be here. We'd be doing something, you know, else, a barbecue on the beach. But what I mean by that is that you've got to have some kind of curiosity to show, you know, are you willing to engage in that? Have you had some experience? And can you build off that experience to kind of get you into the conversation? And so like I say, you don't need to know everything, but you need to understand the way of things.
Someone's in an interview with you talking about becoming an SE, and they say, well, what do you do day to day? What's a normal day look for like for an SE?
Great question. So we get off of to preparing our day of, you know, emails, getting prepped for the day, what's on our calendar, what are we looking at from our client appointments, and are we prepped for those appointments? Did we get an agendas? Do we look at, say, oh, great, I've got some ETU calls today, I've got this one, I got customer X and Y, perfect, I think I'm up. Oh, I need to reach out to sales. I don't have enough information to help me along. We start out our morning, and then the next part of it is we have our daily stand-ups, and then we go right into customer calls. And now, it's not always the same. Every day is different. You could be doing customer calls, or you may be tasked to being at a conference, at a trade show. There's many different aspects of it. Or you could be doing a webinar. You could be doing some live demos. So it's not always the same. So the best part about being an SE is that the job changes daily. And so some things, it can be super busy, sometimes a little bit.
You don't get bored.
Don't get bored.
Okay. That's good. One of the things you'd mentioned was, and I don't know if this is your word, but you need to have energy. I mean, what we talked about curiosity, but how do you judge that energy level that they're excited about doing their job?
For me, it's, I get excited about technology working and watching the customer's eyes light up and yes, you helped me solve that problem, right? For me, it's I like to kind of see as someone else that has that energy is just as, you know, it may require a lot of coffee, it may not, or tea, but it would be, you know, someone's just willing to kind of be out there and excited about doing what you want to do, making the position kind of your own and being able to kind of, it's just, I don't want to say put your best foot forward, but you want to be, I mean, for me, I'm excited that I get to talk to different verticals each day. I'm very fortunate to work with a team that is, we're all about kind of teamwork and we all help each other out. And that's one of the key things for being a great teammate is that if you notice someone is down or not able to kind of do something, you reach out, hey, what do you need? I can move some stuff around. Or, oh, you need help on a demo? You're having some problems with the, you know, something not working? Perfect. Always be there. And that's all it is. I mean, if being a great teammate, showing kind of some enthusiasm for things. And, you know, everybody can have a bad day. Everybody can have a day that's not doing that great. But it's also great from a teammate's perspective is, are you willing to help your teammate out?
Hello, podcast listener. If you've ever wondered why no one's talking about IPv6, we've got good news. IPv6 Buzz is a twice-monthly podcast dedicated to this essential and sometimes perplexing protocol. IPv6 Buzz will equip you with everything you need to know about planning, deploying, and operating a V6 network. Hosts Ed Horley, Tom Coffeen, and Scott Hoag literally wrote the books on IPv6 architecture, deployment, and security. They share their knowledge and speak with other experts on topics including unique local addressing, DHCPv6, SLAC, firewalling in IPv6, and much, much more. They also answer listener questions, so if you've got a burning IPv6 issue, you may be able to get it on a show. So plug into the future with IPv6 Buzz. Find it on packetpushers.net or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Where in a person's Wi-Fi career or their networking career, do you recommend becoming a vendor SE early in your career, mid-career, late career? Where do you think you have the most impact?
Wow, that's a great question. And I've asked that myself for years, and I've thought, you know, gee, what if I started this earlier in my career? And I'm glad that I started the SE role in the timeline that I did. Now, I mean, I'm sure everyone, but for me, it worked out well because I gained the experience that I needed. I got a good understanding of different things over the years, from networking, getting into voice for the first time back in the early, really early 2000s, my old 7920 phone, right? My first wireless Wi-Fi phone. And building on top of that and all those experiences, and then it led me to where I am today. So working from the corporate infrastructure as an IT professional at a brokerage house, a financial firm, and then moving into professional services, and then moving to some more professional sales end of services as well. So you're selling gear as well as implementation services, and then making that kind of change into where I am today, into Ekahau. I mean, this is in that sales engineering position that was probably one of the best transitions I ever did. Just building on top of things because you got the chance to work with customers.
From a home life perspective, some people, one of the things we've done before is had a compensation survey that we send out and people report back and we get some data that shows the more nights you spend away from home, the more money you get paid. And so people ask, well, I don't want to stay away from home. In the SE job, what kind of travel home life do you have? And maybe we could ask this question pre and post COVID.
Oh, that's actually even better. So pre COVID, I think probably it was about maybe 60%. And then during COVID, it was zero. And then it kind of crept up to about 20, 30, 40%. And now it's, I can't really say what it is. It could be, 40% of the time, but it is a good balance. For me, I don't mind traveling. When it comes to the compensation side, it's like, no, that's not part of it. Part of it is how well you are, working on the customer side, right? Working for your customer. But I wouldn't judge this pay scale on the amount of time you would spend away.
Well, I don't think the results of the survey show a high correlation,
right?
But there's no causation. I don't think there's a specific, if you spend this number of nights away, you get paid more. It's that the jobs that require more travel normally have a higher compensation.
I guess so. I would say that is don't focus on, from a salary cap, I think I would be paid anywhere the same if I wasn't traveling. Traveling's part of it, but not
dependent. There's no direct linkage.
Yeah.
Okay. As a SE, and I guess you could even back this up to, how did you prepare better for SE? Home lab, what education, what training, and what ongoing training do you do to maintain your proficiency technically?
Oh, great question. Yes. Let's start out with the home lab. That's something that I've, lab everything, if you can. Now, if you can, I understand there's, but if you can, do it. And the reason home labs are great is because you get to tinker, you get to understand what does work, what doesn't, and you get to try those features out that you wouldn't normally try in a live network, and you get to play with them at home. That's how you would do it, right? You get to break things. Then you know what the consequences are.
And they're breaking things in a non-production environment.
That's right. And then you get to, then you know how long it takes you to fix it, right? So then the stress level's different, right? For an outage.
I don't know. Sometimes family has pretty high SLA.
I would say yes. The when you are making changes at home and they happen to affect the home network, do them in the evening when the kids are pretty much gone to bed.
How do you maintain learning now?
Oh, you know what? Networking. And not networking in the terms of what you think is people networking. And when you are engaged with, you know, the fellow communities out there, understanding what's changing, what's new, podcasts out in the field today that are on networking focused, whether they're events that are held all you know, around the world, whether they're in, there's a great one that happens in Phoenix and in Prague every year. and there's a number of other ones, even the vendor ones. You go to the Cisco's and the HP Aruba type ones. Those are all great events for gaining knowledge of, understand what your peers are doing and understanding kind of what are the changes, what are other folks seeing out there. Reading is great. If you can pick up a few things and some blogs, definitely those are great avenues. And webinars. Webinars can be a plethora of information. It's a quick 1 hour. You got it. My attention. Perfect. I see what's happening, right?
So you mentioned webinars. That was more on the consumption side. How much of your role is on the, you're part of the production side of a webinar?
So I help out on the webinar. Before it was a lot more. Now it's a little more balanced. So I hand out on the back end of the webinars during actual production, which is great. And even then, preparing for those is and answering the questions is kind of keeping up with the technology, right? Is doing the things that I was just mentioning earlier. That helps you prepare for those webinars. It helps you prepare for the questions that need to be answered.
We're all consumers of webinars. And as part of being part of the webinar, there's a chat box and there's a question box. You've been on the other side of that. When people are asking questions, how do you do that from the producer side?
Oh, it's very difficult. You have two screens or sometimes three, and you're watching three windows at once. So it's everything, everywhere, all at once, literally. It's, you got the video going, you got the streaming chat, and the Q&A, and then you're prioritizing constantly.
So are you, do you take those the Q&A and feed them to the presenters?
In the back, yeah, at the end we do. Mm-hmm. So, or we have another back end channel somewhere that'll say, hey, oh, by the way, we should highlight this. And then we're all trying to juggle at the same time, or we interject. But there's usually, it's just a choreographed thing. We kind of try to interject things when we can. But we've learned to kind of keep things towards the end just to kind of speed things along. But, you know, there was a past colleague that I used to have the pleasure of working with. Her and I would have visual cues to know when to get a certain question in every once in a while. And that was a lot of fun. But it as you get larger audiences and more questions coming through, you're focusing, your first goal is focus on the Q&A, answer the questions as best you can. And then pause, hold some for the end, and then go into the chat and kind of make sure that, you know, oh, okay, I'm seeing some correlation between things, right? And kind of add it in there.
Another thing you'd mentioned is part of your role is booth duty. I was going to say booth babe, but you're not a babe. So,
well, thank you.
When you get, well, some people might like that, not me. Booth duty as a role, does it excite you? Does it bother you? Does it give you a chance to see lots and lots of people? How does that fit into the rest of the role as well?
Oh, that is probably one of my favorite parts. And that gives you a chance to be away from behind the screen to present yourself. You're now being able to go face-to-face with a customer. You can do a little bit more presenting. It helps you build up the personnel skills. And you get to show some cool tech at the same time, right? And then you're also networking as well. Being part of that is, it's one of the things I don't take for granted. So being at a conference or something like that and being at the booth, I don't take that for granted. I always, that's probably one of the best things that, one of the top things I like next to working with product teams. But that's another discussion.
Well, the last question I have for you is kind of tied to that. Part of booth duty is talking with customers. Mm-hmm. And But there's also salespeople there. So in your regular day-to-day role, mm-hmm. how much of your SE, sales engineer, of your life is E versus S? And you have to work with, are you paired up with a specific salesperson or with a team?
Pretty much a team. It's not specific. So for instance, with my other colleague, we trade off between different sales folks all the time. And which is a good thing because we get a greater depth of everything. Now, when you talk about the separation between, you know, S and E, well, you have to, it's a, you over time you develop a balance of being able to change gears on the fly. So when I need to go into kind of, you know, low gear, which is, you know, that, that engineering speak to kind of understand the problems and then switch it to high gear and then kind of say, oh, well, this is the costing that you're going to be looking at. This is what the pricing is. And then put it into all wheel drive and say, bring them both together. So there's a bit of a mix that you have to do and you, it just takes some time to kind of navigate it, but you got to go from, you got to be able to take the call. You got to be able to take the conversation from the basics of the engineering understanding and then understanding, okay, from this is what it's going to do from a costing perspective and then bringing it together at the end. And if you can do that, you're good as gold.
How did you learn that skill?
You know, I'm going to have to give a shout out to two individuals. I was at a bunch of them, but two main ones that kind of helped me along that path. And that's Rob Boyd and Jimmy Ray Purser. And they had a show back in the early 2000s, TechWise TV. Those two gents set me off in the career that I'm on today. Them and of course a few others, right? There's a few others along the way as well that kind of, but those two would be the spearhead. So if you were to go back into the DeLorean, you'd go right to that point.
Well, thanks for your time today. I appreciate you sharing your experiences. This has been another episode of Heavy Wireless, part of the Packet Pushers podcast network. On Heavy Wireless, we like to talk about all things wireless from IoT, security, and even career. And this was a career episode today, and we look forward to talking to you in the future. Thank you.